Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 5, Episode 7, entitled The Gift. What'd you think of it?
It's a lot better. We're back to baseline Westerosi misery.
Okay, plenty of that.
We've sweetened it up a little comeuppance. Some delicious...
Oh, man. I had to get on the forum and immediately just like, I don't know which I'm happier about. That Cersei's getting a little bit of comeuppance here. Mm-hmm. Or that Tommen now has reason to rage out on the Faith Militant.
Oh.
Like, I don't know.
I thought it was going to be Cersei and Sam getting a little something-something.
Okay, I mean, I'm glad that Sam got something.
Sam the Layer.
The Slayer?
No, the Layer.
Okay.
I dropped the S for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this episode. It was good. I'm super happy about the way it ended.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what happens next, especially in King's Landing.
What do you think about, let's go to Dorne, the trouble stuff okay. spot. What do you think about the soft shoe involving the poison?
They
built it up as a significant thing, but it seemed to pay off only so Nymeria or whichever these girls are
can
flash some titties and get a little bit more screen time.
Yeah, that seemed weird. That seemed really weird. I was like, that's not really the antidote, right? That's going to speed along the process and kill him faster.
Yeah.
But he seemed to get a little bit better when he drank it.
I thought maybe they're fucking with him too, but then like why? I think it was.
But you, I also ask it from the other angle, like why cure him?
Why do they care? Man, it was like it felt like it's supposed to be an awesome character beat, and maybe we collectively liked or understood what they're doing with the Sand Snakes a little bit better. Like mid-season Oberyn could do something like that, and we'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, you know. But these guys haven't earned it. It doesn't feel like.
I'm with you. Yeah, it felt like the only reason she gave him this antidote is because she thought he was cute,
which is
because he's singing and he's
not really what I want.
Funny
from
guy.
Yeah,
yeah. That's
strange.
I want
my Sand Snakes to be badass.
I feel like they're trying to give her a little bit of characterization with that.
Yeah, but for them to work, they need to be badass, and the whole construction of the last scene kind of betrayed all that, of the last episode, because now it's right. It just, yeah, and then they tacked on, like, I think you're handsome, too, at the end. It's like, what the fuck? I don't know that they understand what they're trying to do with these guys.
Okay.
Because it just doesn't feel like it's working. It's not working for me. None of these punches are landing.
No, not with what's going on in Dorne. Sure.
I mean, Marcella's back to the pink nightmare. There's just nothing going on in Dorne.
I do like that Jaime's got, you know, the nicest accommodations of all because, you know, he's the sister of the queen regent. I don't know. She calls herself the queen. There's no way she's the queen, Marjorie's in prison.
Yeah, that would be funny. I was actually expecting that boom to be lowered. Like when she starts, I'm the queen.
You're not the queen.
It's like, actually, the queen is already in the dungeon.
Do you really think you're more powerful?
We know you think the accommodations are adequate, so you'll have the cell next to her. Just a slight step up, actually. It gets sun from time to time, and hers gets done. They really, really, really made us ready as an audience to see her get some comeuppance. I'm a little surprised it came this quickly.
Me too. I was thinking, oh, they're just going to let us stew for a while.
Yeah.
And Marjorie's going to hate her just as much as we do, and... No, they went right to the hammer coming down.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Speaking of some other bitter draughts going down, Sansa. I hoped
this would happen. Not because I want to see Sansa shit on anymore, but because it's totally within Reek's character.
Not only that, but I'm talking about this is the failure of the candle system. Mm-hmm. What have I been saying, lo, these many weeks? The lit candle in the tallest tower of the abandoned is bullshit. It is bullshit. It's bullshit and has got a northern supporter killed at this point.
Yeah.
Now, I knew that was going to happen. Like when Reek promised her, I'm like, oh, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way. I would be outraged if he was that easily swayed.
Yeah, I saw him going up steps. I'm like, he's not going to this tower.
Although
is he?
One of the possible, you know, defenses or people like, okay, well, maybe if this whole Sansa business, if it leads to a turning point in Theon, then, you know, maybe. But no, like, it literally seems, I don't know exactly what the point of all that stuff is. And clearly she is turning into something that's stronger. But on the other hand, it's another kick in the teeth. Like, here's your escape option, and now it's closed to you.
I really thought what they were going to do is have Ramsay not let on that he knew.
I thought so,
and try
too.
And draw out the person who was really going to help her.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do something more interesting, but they just...
Ramsay's not that smart, I guess.
And where's Roose? I still think I'm gobsmacked that Roose Bolton wouldn't be like, what the fuck are you doing? The whole reason we married you to this girl is to unite the North.
You're keeping her in the dungeon?
You're keeping her in the dungeon, and she screams all night long, like, this is not helping, jackass.
Yeah.
And the wheels are coming off in Stannis's camp, and Melisandre's trying to burn Shireen. It is... There's some bad shit happening.
Thank you for Stannis not letting that happen.
Do you think he's going to stand with that Stannis?
I think so. I really think so.
As the snow piles up and 47 horses die a night.
Yeah, maybe something will change his mind. Maybe his armies will start to dwindle. But as of right now, I'm super glad that they did not have him go light on that.
Yeah.
You know, like, look, this is my daughter. Fuck you. Get out of here.
Yeah, no, it was good. And to the point where, man, I don't know how they resolve this, because it seems like if Melisandre wants to burn the princess to grease the wheels and Stannis isn't going to, like, are they going to throw Melisandre over? Is there going to be, you know, what the hell? What the hell, man? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's always a complication. There's always a wrinkle in the plan, because who knows what power she has. Because she convinced Stannis in other ways. Not with her butt, but with her magic.
With that butt. So, speaking of being up north and things north adjacent, the wall. Awkwardest transition ever. The thing with Sam... you know, they had this Alistair Thorne, and like, your friends are growing... You know, that Master Aemon died, and that was all very sad. But then there's an attempted rape of Gilly. Mm-hmm. Sam is able to stop it with an assist from Ghost, which was awesome. I'd almost forgotten Ghost existed.
Sure.
And then his badass comes CGIing in the door, saving the day. And that was cool enough. But I was really... I'm disappointed in Alistair. I was thinking that he was going to be the one, like,
I thought
that
so
the
too.
Screams were going to track someone. Like, I get it that this is, as we say, a bunch of horse thieves and murderers and rapists. Mm-hmm. But Alistair Thorne, I feel like, is better than that. And yeah, he might threaten and bully Conjole, but when the chips are down, he was kind of a good guy. And now I feel like he's just a giant shitheel.
I feel like maybe he's lashing out at Jon by giving Sam shit now. Like,
well,
this
fine.
Is kind of the only way he can
that's
get
fine,
back
but
at Jon.
Literally no
friends.
One hears what's going on. I mean, like, this, this seems like an untenable situation with Sam... because, you know, say what he will about killing a Thin and a White Walker, he, you know, had Ghost not been there, that'd have been another really, really depressing scene.
Yeah.
I'm worried about those two.
Yeah. It's a bad situation. And you know, the thing keeping him there is his oath.
Mm.
So, like, he either has to take Gilly and get out of there and break his oath, or stay there, be honorable, and try and defend her. And that's, you know, rock and a hard place kind of thing.
And Master Aemon kind of mentioned early on in the episode, you need to flee south, Gilliflower, while you still have the chance before the winter closes in.
You think she's going to do that?
I don't. I, you know, it's all mildly interesting. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Might actually know. But you know something else that's bullshit?
What's that?
This fucking, like, did they pull in the set from Ace Ventura 2 when nature calls Iquetsu Orcha white devil bullshit for this Great Games?
Well,
like, that was a fucking backyard wrestling version
that
of the
is,
Great Games.
That is exactly what it is. This is like the
these are the trials,
yeah,
right?
These are the playoffs. Yeah. And he even said, like,
I was expecting Coliseum.
Your queen, we do not have the budget to pay for two battles in a year, so so we're shooting this at the Little League version of Gladiator School.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch, like, of talk about the Great Pit of Drasnak and like the Coliseum, and which we're probably not going to see because it's cost too much money. But enjoy the local
during
rugby
the preseason,
pitch.
Like, the Giants don't go down to the Little League field. Like, play it in the fucking Coliseum, you know?
Yeah, you got to have you got to get the best and the brightest.
All right. I was a little disappointed
here's
there.
The thing that I don't get.
Yeah.
The pits are open to free men, but this thing is stuck. Okay. Like, is Danny, is she not checking whatever the equivalent of a green card is? Like,
apparently
is there a free
not.
Card? That kind of bothers me too. What's your take on the Hizdar Zolorok? What's your take on him? You know, Dario's was, I tell you why the Sons of the Harpy stopped attacking, because you've made their leader president.
Uh-huh.
Or first gentleman or whatever.
Yeah, so her plan worked.
And it seems like people have to know that these are slaves fighting in this pit. Like, maybe it hasn't bubbled to Daenerys, but how much do you think he's responsible for that?
I don't know.
Is this guy good or evil?
Hizdar?
Yeah.
I feel like Hizdar does not have Dany's best interests at heart, but he's not evil.
Okay.
Like, so he's looking out for the former masters. Hmm. Or, I mean, as they call them still, masters. Like,
right.
Dario's still calling them masters. What the fuck, man? I thought I abolished this slavery thing.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't know what else to call them. But yeah, I feel
that's
like
how he's... It's going back to Ace Ventura, it's like, you know, did you just call me white devil? It's how they know you.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you just call them masters? It's how we know. Uh-huh. So what are you going to do?
Next episode, Jorah's going to crawl out of a rhino's ass.
Yeah. Or Tyrion crawls out Jorah's. That would also be pretty amazing.
Yeah, I don't know where he stands, but I feel like it's not quite on Dany's side, but it's not super malicious toward Dany either.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
What do you think Danny does? I mean, I feel like they have really, really sped up this sequence to get them. Like, again, I'm shocked. I'm watching episode 7 and Jorah is right there. He's doing a kinder, gentler version of Gladiator. He's the merciful knight, just going, you know.
Yeah, I felt like he needed something bigger than Tyrion. No pun intended there. I'm not making a joke. I'm just saying he needs something more impressive to get him back on her good side.
I'm wondering what, I mean, they cut it right in the middle because it's like, you know, we want to know, like, well, what's the next thing he says? How does he parlay this Lannister thing? And is it going to be a vengeance thing? Is it going to be this advisor thing or what?
I really think Tyrion's going to go in with the idea that he can help her.
I think so. So is this a zero-sum game? Does Tyrion die or Jorah die or... Neither?
You think it's zero sum? Well, because it hasn't been zero sum most of the time. I mean, like,
because if Jorah goes in there arguing, I brought this, you know, as a gift of blood for you, and Tyrion comes in, I can help you. This guy's crazy. I just feel like
it's making
it feel like a zero sum game. But
what if Tyrion goes in and he's like, Jorah brought me here because you need advice, King's Landing. Like, to take King's Landing, you need someone who knows it from the inside. We work together. What if he pitches it that way and Jorah just like.
What's Jorah?
Either isn't Does present Jorah or goes along with yeah, it. Yeah,
that's the thing. Does Jorah back that play? Like, I really want to know what
he
happens
might.
Next year.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends on how much he trusts Tyrion at this point. Like, have their journeys together been enough to team them up officially?
I mean, one thing I will say positive is that they've done just enough in this buddy traveling roadshow to make me believe a lot of different possibilities of how this could work out.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrion saved Jorah's life, right?
Sure.
They were just going to...
And vice versa. I mean, at this point, they're kind of in each other's debt, like, at least twice.
Sure.
Why was Tyrion the only person who was actually chained up in the gladiator pit?
So it's hard to say that he's not a slave if he's chained up, right? Like...
Well, but I'm saying, like, all the other slaves are just like, well, shit, the door's open, and we'll just go out, blunder onto the battlefield.
See, I never understood that about slaves fighting in a fighting pit. There's one dude there who owns all these people and is going to arm them all and say, please don't hurt me as you go out to the battlefield where you're likely to die.
Sure.
I would think one slave would be like, all right, fuck this. I'm just going to kill this guy.
Well, have you
We're
seen
all free, guys.
Have you seen the movie Spartacus?
No.
Because that started off just like that, and it was going so well, and then ended in 6,000 slaves being crucified. So it's just like when shit like that happens, the response is so disproportionate because that's the last thing the masters or the friendly neighborhood dudes or whatever you want to rename them, that's the last thing that they want, a slave uprising.
Yeah, I do wonder if, you know, the High Septim's comments about we are the many and you are the few have anything to do with Danny's situation as well.
Yeah, I don't, there is a lot of interesting symmetry and kind of allegory going on here, and I haven't absorbed it all in the first watch.
Sure.
Kind of surprised with talking of the gift. I thought there's going to be a dude when I saw this episode title, I thought there was going to be a dual meaning with Arya, you know, the gift of the mini face god, which is death, and gift of Jorah. And it was just the one thing. I was a little missed opportunity to touch in a Braavos because I'm with child to know what's going on with Arya right now, too.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Reveal the big face hall and then that's it. That's it. Come on now.
Yeah, they hit the two major plot points that we had been waiting to see for the last week, right?
Yeah.
Like the ones they didn't show last time. Mm-hmm. Danny being the big one.
Right.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I'm super psyched to see what happens next. I hope we kind of get another mixed bag episode of like, we're going here, we're going there, we're going everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to miss out on more plot somewhere
else. What's Brienne's plan now? Because clearly she gets up and this is a, you know, Rick Grimes at the CB at Dawn situation where she's waiting for this candle that we know now is never going to come. Here's what I thought was going to happen. I actually thought that Ramsay is going to play dumb, and then he's like, you know, my father and I were talking, and this tower is just a ruin. It's just a terrible, terrible mess, and it's an eyesore. We're
tear
just
going
to – and just pull it down right in front of her. Like, that would literally be her hopes and dreams being controlled demolition, which is kind of his style.
That'd be awesome.
I continue to be kind of – maybe they're trying to tell us that he does have some limits to how clever he is.
I think so.
He's cruel. Yeah. And he's cunning, but there is a very hard limit. Very surprised no Roose. I was really looking forward to Roose giving us a little bit of comeuppance for him and batting him about the neck and shoulders. I don't know. Fucking hate this Ramsay guy.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Sansa does with Theon at this point either. But she made a pretty pretty strong play for his allegiance.
Yeah, and he turned it down.
Yeah,
so.
it's not going to get, it feels like it's going to get easier to betray, you know, every single time you betray someone, it's got to get easier, right? The first time you might be scared and you feel your phantom feel the phantom tingling in your balls, but, you know, third, fourth time, it's just like, yeah, whatever. You'll never believe what Sansa said this time, master. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see.
Pretty curious about seeing, you know, we're down to like the final three episodes. So next episode or episode after is going to pop off.
Yeah. I mean, I assume it's going to get real crazy when the Battle of Winterfell happens. Like, that's got to be the next big event, right?
Yeah. Well, we got Jon going up north of the wall to you know, get this 60,000 strong wilding fighting force that.
Yeah,
has a potential to be interesting too. Mm-hmm. I'm also wondering, you know, with the potential of going north of the wall and with Sam slipping John a little bit of dragon glass, it's been over a season since we've seen the White Walkers. I wonder if we'll have some memories refreshed of that.
Yeah, like I was thinking, yeah, of course he's going to need that. Of course he's going to use that.
Maybe more than one piece, Sam. Jesus.
I think it's the only one he's got.
You got
that, right?
It's like, okay, so that's like the ice. That's the ancestral blade of the Starks version of Dragonglass. Break that up into some fucking
shards?
Arrowheads.
All right.
Yeah. Get a quiver full of that
Ollie
shit.
Bring Ollie with you. And...
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the North has more than one White Walker. I got him. It's all good. It's all good. We can just skip the summer.
You just
got
to go to the source, man.
I found them. Yeah, yeah.
Can't go to the source. I'm curious when Bran's coming up again, but who knows?
Who knows, indeed.
Get him some dragon glass.
Maybe
see
we've
what he
already
can do
seen
with
him.
Fireballs and dragon glass.
It's a Where's Waldo situation.
Oh my god! All right.
He's everywhere. He's in the woods and the trees.
I feel like that's how it's going to be.
The birds
when,
and the bees
with Arya coming up. Like Arya might have been in this episode. I don't know.
Ah,
who knows? Maybe she's the slaver who bought Jorah and Tyrion.
Maybe she's Lansa Lannister.
It could be. Yeah. Could be the High Septim himself. Who knows?
I thought she'd get all her prayers. She just keeps confessing. She just has Lance will keep confessing, you know. Yeah, sir. Ill and pain, touch my butt.
Yeah.
Total butt touching.
The mountain.
Maren Trant was all about my ass. He just wouldn't stay off the ass. It's going to just line them all up.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to be a faceless man after all. Just need one face.
I am curious about the trial by combat versus the holy trial or whatever this is.
Trial
Does that work?
Seven septums?
Can I be like, I'm not going to confess and get Mother Nature's whatever.
Yeah.
But I want a trial by combat.
We talked about the limits of trial by combat. I feel like if anyone can get trial by combat, a queen or a king can.
Okay.
Like the higher up you get, the more it's likely that they're going to take your I mean, anyone can request trial by combat, but if you're a peasant boy who's, you know, poached a sheep, you're probably going to get a ha 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 and then strung up anyway. But you know, you start to get too lordling and on up into that kind of social stratosphere, they take that kind of shit more seriously.
That's not even what I'm wondering. What I'm wondering is if it trumps this trial that the faith
seven
militant,
septons.
If that applies to, the seven pointed whatever book.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. I'll be mildly interested to see how that goes. There's one other thing. Littlefinger,
okay.
We have watched him in like cozy up to at least as many sources of power that he's been in episodes this season. What's his game with the Tyrells?
So those are the new friends. Like in the previously on, they say, you know, my new friends interest. Those are Those are his new friends. I don't know if that's long term or not. It doesn't seem to.
They're
ever
also
be.
Old friends too, because he was responsible for the death of Joffrey. Or are we supposed Are we supposed to draw the conclusion that maybe he actually wasn't? That was all a Lady Olenna production, and then he just happened to be there to spirit off Sansa.
No, that's not what I got.
All right, so
Littlefinger was directly
They're not new friends or old friends too, but
they were new friends at the time.
The thing is, what if what he wants is to take down the Lannister regime, that's also at odds with House Tyrell's what they want, because they got Margaery on the throne. That's where they want her. Anything that threatens, like, I've been trying to think of, like, long term, what Lady Olenna does here. And it's a tricky situation, because any scenario that ends up with one of her children not on the throne is a less strong position than she had. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's a lot of things she just can't do, you know, for the very same reason, like, Tommen's in the position that he's in. Like, there it's going to be interesting to see the political chess game here.
Yeah, his are sort of the most hidden motives. And, you know, by the nature of his character.
Right.
I think that's got to be the case.
The other thing and then I'm pretty much out of things to talk about, is we speculated about whether the High Sparrow, as they called him, was true blue. I feel like we can put that to rest, right?
I think so.
The two wealthiest people in the world offer you whatever you want to get, you know, whatever they want to happen, and you're like, no, fuck it.
Yeah.
Either your motivations is just pure power grab for yourself. Which I guess that's still on the table. Maybe he wants to, like, return this to a theocracy type of thing.
I mean, that's kind of going to be the default, right? He's going to be de facto leader, and kind of already is.
Yeah.
You know, Cersei made a huge mistake appointing him.
What's Tommen's play?
Tommen's play is to go rage. Go full out rage on these fools.
He wanted to.
Cut them all. I know.
You can see the spirit of Joffrey animating him.
The whole scene, I was saying, yes, do that. Exactly that.
Get the army here.
But I don't know.
Show these.
I really think that's what he's going to do now.
Show these robe and hammer types what plate steel and and castle forge swords can do.
Yeah, man. They're not going to hold up to that.
All right. Okay, well, I'm excited to see what everybody else thought. As always, you can run the email gauntlet at gameofthrones@baldmove.com. We'll have our full coverage podcast out Tuesday. And we also will have a spoiler cast with some spoiler emails and some tinfoil theories and a bunch of other cool stuff from the books out Friday. But first steps first, Tuesday, full coverage podcast.
Yep.
Can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. See you then.
All right, bye-bye.